Let's get to Irf and Gafar, our Canucks insider from the fourth period. Irf, what's going on, man? Game day. Here we go. First of 82.
Yeah, first of 82. I mean, Höglander wasn't as much expectation because he was also drafted in the second round.
True.
No, he was a first round draft pick, so there's definitely going to be a little bit more hype there.
No, that's fair.
And they picked him here in Vancouver.
Yes. Everyone got to see his walk towards the stage and all that sort of stuff and want to see him on the ice now.
Yeah, no, I'm interested. Look, I think that this roster tonight is intriguing on a lot of different levels. You don't have Brock Besser, obviously, but, you know, Alex Chiasson and his return game to Edmonton, the money on the board game there. So playing with Miller and Pettersson, that's nice. Pearson, Horvat, Garland, that line intrigues me a lot because I think Garland can move up and down the lineup. I wonder if, you know, he's going to be the guy that stays with Horvat the longest. Because, you know, Pearson can also move up and down and get thrown into different spots if someone gets hurt. So I just wonder where Garland ends up staying and if he is, you know, attached to Bo Horvat's hip for most of this season. Highmore, Dickinson, Höglander could be fun. I don't know what to expect out of Matthew Highmore. I think that, you know, Travis is putting him in because he liked the look of that line in training camp. And then obviously Dowling, Lamico, and you know, the kid, the Russian kid. That's also an interesting one. Look, Besser's going to come back into this lineup. I also feel that Nick Batan will play at some point on this trip. Unless the Canucks get off to a crazy hot start. And, you know, Travis doesn't like to change his lineup too much. So it'll be interesting. And I think it's a good thing for us to be able to talk about this and fans in the building and, you know, have some positive news kind of heading into game one.
Good story from Ian McIntyre on Sportsnet.ca about Pettersson diving in a little bit to where his head was at early on in the negotiations. And really the takeaway quote was that just like he said in the summer, he's here to win. He wants to win. What are your expectations for Pettersson here in the early going?
Well, he didn't play a whole lot last year, so I expect him to be fresh. I expect him to be ready. I expect him to be hungry. You know, there is some responsibility that comes with getting paid. Obviously, you know, we saw his deal wasn't as long as Quinn Hughes, but, you know, he still got some money. And, you know, you expect Elias Pettersson to be a star in this league and get to that superstar level and take this team to the next step. Now, you know, he said all the right things and he's done all the right things in his first season. Obviously, he didn't play a lot last year and was hurt and had that wrist injury. And, you know, I think that what we expect from Elias Pettersson is for him to go out and do things every single night. I think that, you know, there's so much talk about, you know, wanting Petey to do all these extra things, but you have to expect it from him because he is that good of a player. So it's more so expect the unexpected. You know, if he gets four goals, it's like, oh, wow, okay. But, you know, you're not going to want him to do that every single night. I think it's play good on both sides of the puck. I think that's an important thing. And I think it's step into a little bit of a leadership role on this team. You know, he said, like you mentioned, all the right things. And now it's wanting to be here and put your talking onto the ice and go and do it.
That leadership part of it is so fascinating, too, because to me, you know, as much as, you know, fans have loved Tanev and Markstrom and Stetcher, you know, the two players that everyone needs to become leaders are Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. And I do wonder if those guys were still here, if the space would have been provided for Pettersson and Hughes to grow into as leaders on this franchise. They're everyone's meal ticket. Ultimately, everyone's going to follow them, and their success is going to determine the Vancouver Canucks' success. And I think that's part of the thing I'm looking forward to, outside of statistical needs and requirements from Pettersson and Hughes, is just how they operate and how they learn and how they grow as leaders and fundamentally how everyone starts to follow them.
Well, I've said for a long time on this show and a number of different ones that this team is going to go as far as 40 and 43 take them. Right. And I think that you can add Thatcher Demko to that mix a little bit. Bo Horvat now as well, obviously he's been the captain and he's been here for quite some time, but they are the two cornerstones of your franchise. Now, Quinn Hughes, maybe a little bit quietly leads. And I think Elias Pettersson is a little bit more of the vocal one. And obviously, you know, he's in the dressing room after every game answering questions. He's the first guy to, you know, say something if the team's losing. And he's the first guy to admit if he was wrong or if he didn't play well. So that's what you want out of your team. And then that's what you want out of guys. Now, as far as the actual leadership group, as to who's probably going to wear letters this season, I expect OEL to have one. I expect JT Miller to probably be wearing one. And then, you know, maybe a guy like Elias Pettersson as well. Now, obviously, just because you have a letter on this team, whether it's the captain or assistant captain, doesn't mean you can't lead the team by example. And I do think that there are guys in that room that players look forward, that players look to as well, to be leaders and to help this team grow. Now, you mentioned the Markstroms and the Tanevs and the quote-unquote dads of the team in years past, but that's gone. They're done. It's now that year of them being gone is completely passed. This is a new team. This is new leadership group. This is a new wave of players coming into trying to, you know, build their identity. And I think that that's the biggest thing for this team is, what is this team going to be now? You know, Travis Green got his extension. Elias Pettersson got his extension. Quinn Hughes has his extension. What is this team's identity now moving forward is the biggest question.
Rathbone and Burrows in tonight for game one.
Yeah.
And then we've got the, you know, the four guys up front. Looks like it'll be Hughes, Poolman, OEL, Myers, but obviously that could change. When it comes to defense in the group, and then we've got obviously Hunt and Shen waiting for an opportunity, possibly on this trip, possibly as early as Friday. What are you looking for from the defense group?
Make the first pass out of the zone, get out cleanly, simple, but don't make any mistakes. Like, look, I think the right side of the defense scares a lot of people. And I think that, you know, OEL and Myers are going to be your two big minute guys. Those are the guys who are going to eat a lot of minutes. They're going to see a lot of McDavid. They're going to see a lot of Draisaitl tonight. Quinn Hughes and Poolman. Poolman has been, you know, a pleasant surprise for this Vancouver Canucks team in training camp. No one really knew what to expect from him. They only knew what to expect because of the contract that he was given. You know, a lot of people scratched their heads in hockey circles, said, why did Jim Benning and the Canucks give Tucker Poolman $10 million? Well, he's been a pretty pleasant surprise in training camp. He's worked hard. He's very good along the wall. He's got a good stick. He's always finding himself in the right places. And then you look at, you know, Hunt and Shen, obviously, as your 7-8 defenseman. But I'm interested to see what Jack Rathbone does here. You know, he's a guy that has been in the system for a little bit, or been in the system for a while. He played in almost every preseason hockey game this season, and he's earned a spot on the team. And Kyle Burrows, obviously from the Lower Mainland, you expect him to show out for his hometown team tonight. So that'll be interesting as well. But the big one is OEL and Myers, and to just kind of see how much of McDavid and Draisaitl they're going to get and how much they can handle, because it's going to be a lot tonight for those two.
Irfan Ghaffar joining us, Canucks insider for the fourth period. So last season, even in the offseason, it felt like it was kind of about ownership to some degree. And the season became about, you know, so much more than just wins and losses, COVID stoppage and communication issues and all that sort of stuff. It felt like it wasn't about the on-ice product. This year, that trend seems to be over, and it's about what's happening on the ice. So who to you is this season going to be about?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. I think right now you got to look at defensively. Like, I think it's defense and goalie, right? If this team can get a really good performance night in and night out from Thatcher Demko, and I do believe in Demko. Look, they gave him the keys. They gave him the big contract, and they believe in him. And I think that Canucks fans should believe in him as well. You know, he's a guy that's going to go out and compete every single night, and you know, he's going to play a lot of hockey this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back-to-back early on in the season. It also wouldn't shock me if, you know, they gave Halak one game. But if Thatcher Demko is your guy, you're going to see him play a lot of hockey this season. And then, obviously, you look at the defense and the addition of OEL. That's an easy one. But it always comes down to Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes for me. It's your two stars of your team, and can they both kind of have bounce-back years? Quinn wasn't good last year. He admits that. Elias Pettersson was hurt for a majority of the season last year. He didn't play a lot of hockey, and he wants to come back and is very hungry. So those are the two guys that you're going to look on the offensive side and on the defensive side to try and lead this team and take this team to the next step. And I think that's, you know, it's an easy answer because it's not one that's, you know, too sexy or too kind of off the cuff. But this team, like I've mentioned, is going to go as far as 43 and 40 take them.
Beyond those two, I think it's really interesting the breakdown of probably the next four guys in terms of importance up front: Horvat, Besser, Miller, and Garland, the new guy.
Yeah.
Which one of those four do you feel most confident in having a big season?
Probably Connor Garland, because I think that there could be something really special there with, you know, Bo Horvat and him, and if they're able to kind of figure something out, and if they're able to remain line mates the whole season, I think that'll be a big thing. Obviously, injuries are going to come in, and you hope to not see guys get hurt. But I think that, you know, Garland could be a guy that benefits the most from that trade. You know, we'll all look at that trade and say, oh, OEL, OEL, OEL. Yes, obviously, because he's got the big ticket and he's here for a long time. But I think that Garland's a guy as well that could be a very pleasant surprise for Vancouver Canuck fans. And, you know, you mentioned JT Miller and Bo Horvat and Brock Besser, but you know what you're going to get out of those guys. You know, Brock Besser's a perennial 20-goal scorer. Bo Horvat's exceeded expectations in every single season that he's had here in Vancouver as a member of the Canucks. And, you know, JT Miller's a hell of a hockey player. You know, he might be the heartbeat of this team this season. He has been, you know, since he's gotten here, and hasn't been that long. So I expect big seasons out of them. But the one that I'm most looking forward to watching is probably Garland.
You hyped for Canada-Panama as well?
Yeah, man, big game. That is a big game for the Canadians. And I know it's, you know, you should be able to watch. I think it's on Sportsnet.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it is. So that's at 4:30. It's a pretty good lead-in for a Canucks game, I'd say.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. And I think there's a lot of concern right now with this qualification group. I know, you know, draws don't excite anyone, but, you know, no losses. I'm kind of psyched about that so far.
Hey, man, if you don't lose, you're, I mean, yeah, exactly. If you don't lose, it's a good thing. They're unbeaten in five. They're coming home. BMO should be rocking tonight. I know Leafs play as well, but it should be a pretty good atmosphere there at BMO. Obviously, you've got a lot of star players playing. Obviously, some not in the lineup, but just from watching from the outside and, you know, seeing this Canadian team kind of develop, guys wanting to play for them, guys choosing to pick, wanting to play for their country, and especially being here, we haven't seen that in a really, really long time. So it's encouraging to see for Canadian soccer, and, you know, hopefully they can go out and show out tonight.
He is Irfan Ghaffar from the fourth period to Canucks Insider. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Seahawks are working out Blake Bortles. I want to cry.
Yeah, man. Why not? Blake Bortles facts. Bring it back.
Oh, no, please don't.
It's rough. It's rough. The next 5 weeks should be a lot of fun for the Seahawks.
Yeah, and also Trey Flowers finally getting his wish after not being good. Yeah.
Good thing the Seahawks are playing in primetime the next two.
Yeah. Monday night, baby, and Sunday night. Hopefully they get flexed out.
I know. Not this early. Maybe
no, they won't. They won't. All right, thanks, man.
All right, boys. Be well.